praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Again, while Terry's receiving that offering, I want to thank you so much for your giving. And I want you to keep the Lord's priorities in your life. That it's not just giving money. It's your heart. Keep your heart set upon the things above and not the things beneath. Your Father knows everything that you have need of, and He delights in meeting your need. If you are trying to twist God's arm, forget about it. Amen. You couldn't twist His arm if you tried. Amen. And we do try sometimes. But obtain His will. Know that He wills to bless you. And there are principles that will allow Him to bless you. In fact, the Bible said in John 15, if you abide in Me and My word abides in you, remains constant is what that word abide means. Amen. You will ask what you will, and it shall be given to you. So that's not just a faith principle. That's a matter of surrendering, submitting, and obeying. Say it with me, surrendering, submitting, and obeying. The only way the Word of God can work consistently in anyone is if you stay surrendered and submitted. Can you say amen? If you're going to do your thing, then what God says to you in His Word is going to be immaterial to you, and there's no possible way you can be blessed. That's why all of the teachings on faith that doesn't teach the Lordship of Jesus and the surrender and the submitting to God, amen, is leaving out something so vital. It's almost like asking, well, let me put it to you this way. We've got surrender and submission over here, and we've got faith to believe over here. And view it as, if you were flying from here to Miami today in an airliner, which wing would you rather fall off? The left wing or the right wing? Neither one. You'd actually like to keep both of them on the plane. Amen. Because why? Because it takes both wings to keep the plane aloft. Amen. Well, it takes surrender and submission, devotion to God, and then it takes faith and believing Him. And if you just got faith and believe in Him, you got one wing. You're letting the other one go. Don't let the other one go. If you just got surrender and then you don't believe Him, then you got one wing. But if you get them married to one another, then you got two wings. Praise God. And God can lift you up with wings as an eagle, no matter what you're facing in your life. But this idea of believing God for things and claiming things and building your faith to receive rather than bowing your heart, amen, to honor Him and obey Him, that's not biblically balanced. That's that wing. It's as extreme as the analogy that I gave you. Amen. Did they receive the offering while I was giving this? All right, good. Praise God. That was painless. I didn't hear anybody grunting and groaning. And praise the Lord. And they can't accuse us for covetousness here. This is an intercessory prayer that was brought to my attention this morning. It's about our borders, and I'll just read it to you briefly. Someone feels this should be for those of you who intercede for this nation, for kings, those that are in authority, for our safety, for our security. I believe the airport security is probably stronger than it's ever been because of the laxity that caused people. Actually, I'd be more prone to fly now than any time because they had a recent near miss. And after something like that, there's a real focus on the airports. So our enemies are not stupid. They understand the airports are going to be tough to get through. So there's other borders if they want to do us harm that they can come into this nation. And that is Canada, Mexico. There are borders that are not guarded as they need to be. And people are feeling this in their heart. And it just says, thank you for your prayers. While I was in Israel for the last prayer letter, it was wonderful to be able to fellowship with a group of pastors and help them learn how to take their own group next time. And that's just a prelude. And then it says, while there, my roommate mentioned in passing about how the control key on her computer was broken. Is this the one? Is that the? It's the other one. Okay. That I wonder where this was going. I said, I got it. I got another part of the letter. Word of the Lord, February 3rd, 2010. Continue to pray for the security guards. Continue to pray for the Coast Guard. Continue to pray for the first responders, saith the Lord. For surely there is an attack on the horizon. But I would say, watch and pray, my children. Be vigilant. Be vigilant on your borders. Be vigilant, especially on the Canadian border, saith the Lord. Set up watchmen. Set up watchmen on the Canadian border. In the spirit realm, walk that border. Walk that border every day. Walk that border between the United States and Canada, saith the Lord. Walk that border, for there shall be an acceleration that shall happen as the weather breaks. There shall be an acceleration of infiltration through those borders, saith God. Pray that it might be revealed. Pray, saith God. Pray, pray. You must pray. You must pray, saith the Lord. It's a call to intercession. And a lot of us feel like that's somebody else's job. That's people that are called to the ministry of intercession. I would say to you today that everybody in this room is called to a ministry of intercession. Not maybe that's your full calling, there are people that intercede hours a day. But every Christian is called to intercede. Pray for our president. Pray for our nation. Pray for the security and the safety of our troops. That's why when I saw that picture of a man praying in a combat zone and an angel standing over him, I wanted it in this church because I didn't want us to forget the men and women in uniform that are in harm's way today, representing our nation and fighting for our security and our safety. This is a war on terror. This is not police action like Korea was called, which wasn't police action. It was a war too. But and Vietnam. This is a war on terror. We are at war in America. Make no mistake about that. And our enemies want to do us harm. And God is the one that is the great barrier between us and our enemies. So, and He can just keep us in this time of trouble and uncertainty and insecurity as far as the world is concerned. We serve a good and gracious God today. And I love Him, and I love to invite people to pray. Praise God. We've been interceding for 30... Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. You are not only at war nationally, saith God. You are at war spiritually. You have an adversary, and I don't want you to cower and be afraid of him. But I want you to be sober, and I want you to be vigilant, as it is written. Yea, saith God, for you have great power spiritually. You have great authority spiritually. Yea, you have spiritual armament that you may, as kings and priests unto me, intercede and see mighty things happen, saith God. Mighty things to protect you and your family. Yea, mighty things to see revival in your nation. Yea, mighty things to keep my servants overseas. Yea, saith God, you're a mighty people, and the enemy hates you, but I love you, and I will keep you, saith God. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to preach a little while. Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully today. There's not a promise you can claim without a principle to be obeyed. It is the missing element in so much teaching on faith. It grieves my heart to see people taught to build their faith so they can receive and not be taught about. And the principles to be obeyed don't start with money. It starts with your heart. God wants a lot more than your check. There's a misconception today that if you write the check, God will heal your family. God will help you on your job. God, it's all about the check. Honey, you couldn't buy it. You know why you can't buy it with a check? Because it's not for sale at any price. You were not redeemed with corruptible things. God wanted you to clearly understand this is not to be marketed, and it can't be bought with money. Amen. Blessings can't be bought with money. Say that with me, just so we get in the same mind and accord today. Because I'm not interested in the tapes you listen to, the books you read. There's one book I read from to speak from authoritatively here on Sunday morning. Amen. You say, well, have you read Brother So-and-so's book? If it lines up with this book, I'd love to read it. If it doesn't, I just don't have the time. Can you say amen? Put it in the garbage. Forget about it. Amen. One of the unctionized things God gave me not too long ago was the Christian bookstore. I hadn't been in a long time. My wife gets some of the shopping done there. And so I was just in there browsing. And while I was browsing, you know, I was looking at some of these books. And I'd look at a title and I'd open it up and see what they basically get some of the gist of it. Just looking through. And I thought, boy, that's selling a lot of books. But it sure isn't lining up. Now, not all of them. But did you know there's a whole bunch of different writers that are interpreting this book in their own particular view of how it's to be interpreted? There's whole sections that says charismatic, amen. And that doesn't mean that we all believe the same way just because it's got a charismatic title over it, because we speak in tongues, we believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It don't mean that doctrinally we agree with everybody over in that section. Can you say amen? But then there's other sections that don't say charismatic, and there's some good sound teaching from the Word of God in some books. But everything has to be submitted to this. If you're not submitting it to this, then you're not moving in God's authority. Amen. You say, but that guy has a television broadcast. But by the way, that does carry weight. Amen. It gives you instant credibility with a lot of people. If you're on TV, you must be some big thing. I remember we had a little church broadcast, and we were on television a couple of times on that Sunday morning thing on WTVT, and so we televised it. And then about 6 months after we were on television with our church, how many went down there with us? Remember that? Oh, your hair looks so different now. It looks so much better now. That was in the day that you could put it up in beehives, and we had the beehives. We had some hair that tall, and it was just a whole different day. We had never been on TV, and there's a guy that played piano for us that had. And outside of WTVT, he said, he come walking up, and I saw him get out of his car, and he come walking up, and I don't know, there's different shades of lipstick. I mean, there's, you know, kind of pink lipstick, and there's all these different flesh tones. And he had cherry red lipstick on. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a man with bright red lips, amen, and he could tell that I was taken back. As he come walking up, because we're going on television. See, our piano player, and he had on bright, I'm talking about it stood out way down the street. And he got up to me, and I was still just kind of stunned. We were going to walk in WTVT together. And he said, we're going to be on television. Because he knew what I was looking at, you know. I was going to tell him, go wipe that lipstick off, man. Come on. We're going to be on television. And he said, we're going to be on television. Says, you know, it kind of bleeds you out, fades you out. He said, but this will keep. And I thought, my Lord, we want to reach souls for Jesus. We want to expose the gospel to people who hadn't heard it. And he's concerned about how I'm going to come over, make sure my lips show up good and don't bleed me out, you know. And I'm still stunned. I don't know what to say. The man is wearing lipstick, bright red lips. There's nobody in here with lipstick like that. No lady in here has lips like that. Brightest lips in here. There's nobody. Yours, I wish he had yours on. I probably wouldn't have even noticed. Just blends. My wife just blends. Bright red. And then, because I'm still stunned. And he reached in his coat pocket and pulled out a tube of lipstick and said, would you like some? That's all I need is me and him. These two guys come walking in with bright red lipstick. I mean, you know, come on. It gets so crazy sometimes. You get on television 6 months after that broadcast, and fortunately the camera just, you know, whizzed by the pianist, you know, that's smiling with his big red lips. And anyway, 6 months after that, I went to Merritt Island to preach. And I was preaching in Merritt Island. And the moment I walked in the door of the church before I even preached, a man came up to me and he says, I've seen you. You're on television. I thought, no, I'm not. This was one church service. I'm not on television. But what it showed me was, when I walked in, what gave me instant influence and credibility was that a camera had been placed on me. And there I stood in the lights, bringing a message at the end of that. So he saw that on television. He said, I saw you on television. And there was another instance when I went down to Channel 22 when the man in our church, son, had killed himself. And he was deep into Dungeon and Dragon games. And he took on these role models, became deeply depressed, and took his own life. And I went with his daddy to give the biblical part of the occult and on Channel 22. Again, the same thing happened. Went somewhere else and somebody said, I saw you on television. Well, and the moment they say it, it gives you something that normally just standing in your church you don't get. You get kind of a celebrity status because you stood in front of a camera and let somebody photograph you. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people using that influence and a lot of people that are not reading this book because so-and-so is on television. They have all of these people following them. But I was standing in that bookstore, and it just occurred to me, and I brought it to you, but it occurred to me. If this Bible, not the paraphrases, this Bible, you can lay a paraphrase beside this and let this help you understand this in some sense, but it'd be better to let this help you understand the paraphrase and check it out. If this Bible was placed in the center of the bookstore and all the books came alive. Every book on the shelf, the commentaries, because men wrote them. Oh, you say, well, men wrote this. Well, this is a different caliber man. These men were willing to lay down their life for Jesus, and they wrote as the Holy Spirit moved them. And God preserved it in a book called His Inerrant Holy Word. Every book in that store would bow to the Bible. Can you say amen? How many know that if we don't keep the centerpiece, if we don't keep the compass, if we don't keep the truth before us, then the truth is going to get muddled. The truth is actually going to get changed. Can you say amen? And we can't afford to have this truth changed. When we just teach portions of the Bible to get people to give money and we don't teach following Jesus so they give their heart to Him, we're doing a disservice to discipleship. See, if God gets your heart, I found out something that you might not find out in any medical book, that your heart is connected to your wallet. Amen? Amen? Amen. You know what Billy Graham said about, and I'm not going to talk about money, I'm talking about your heart, but I want to use this because money is what you're hearing most about. I want to clarify some things here today. Amen? Billy Graham said a checkbook is a theological book. Your checkbook is a theological document. Because your checkbook tells what your priorities are. Amen? Does it? I mean, it's not the song you sing. It's not the song I sing. Anybody can sing. Can you say amen? Your checkbook tells what your priorities are. I want the latest cell phone, but I can't give to God. But I got the latest cell phone. I can watch a movie while I'm sitting in the dentist office right there on my cell phone. Cost me loads to keep all that. I can't give to God because I couldn't do without this to give to God. But I want Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs, and I needs this phone with television in it. Amen? No, you need God's blessing. You need Him to open the windows of heaven. Can you say amen? I need this watch with the diamond on it. I'd really got to have that watch. That's what's important. So we get into the message that tells us not only is faith the only thing we need, we don't need to surrender to God, but the only thing we need to do is write a check. It's called Seed for the Need. It's based on a spiritual law, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, good measure running over, God, men shall give unto your bosom. Yes, that is absolutely true. But God wants more than your check written to get your need met. Because a greater need in your life is for Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And when Jesus is the Lord of your life, all these other things just, well, listen, let's put it this way. Take ye no thought, he taught, for your life, what ye shall eat, what you shall drink or wherewith you shall be clothed. For your Father knows that you have need of all of these things. Take ye no thought. It's hard not to be concerned about all of these things when we got a trunk full of tapes on how to get them that we listen to over and over and over and over and over. He said, I don't want you thinking about that. I want you thinking about one thing. I want to make it simple for you. I want to simplify getting blessed to you. Can you say amen? And I want you to know where the blessing starts. It starts in your spirit man. Does it start in your belongings? Does it start in your material blessing? It starts on the inside of you. Can you say amen? I have a charge from God to go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Amen? Amen. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. Amen. For the right reasons. Can you say amen? Everybody say a follower of Jesus for the right reasons. The reason I said that is because there were people followed him for the fish and loaves. And there are people that will follow him today for the fish and loaves. Can you say amen? And there are people that followed him for the water that turned to wine. In fact, Jesus turned around to one group following him and he said, if you do not see miracles, you won't believe. Can you say amen? How many know that when miracles are taking place, it draws a crowd? People come to see the miracles. Amen? How many know when he fed the multitudes, people came to eat the food and they followed him around hoping he'd work, replicate that same miracle again? There's some people, the Holy Ghost moves a certain way in a service. What do we want? We want God to replicate it in every service. Amen? We want to be blessed more than we want to see the lost saved. We'd rather get that replicated blessing than to see the lost saved. And some ministries build their whole ministry on a particular, peculiar blessing. And people keep coming back for what they call another dose, which is just more of the same. And it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. But aren't you glad today that the early church didn't stay in the upper room wanting God to replicate the baptism of the Holy Ghost over and over and over? You know why? Because there were thousands of people down in the street waiting to hear the gospel through the anointing. And the first time in all of those years the gospel came through the anointing, through anyone other than Jesus Christ, is when they walked down out of that upper room and begin to proclaim Jesus and him crucified and the salvation. The gospel would have never got out of Jerusalem if they had sat in the upper room asking for another blessing. But it got out of Jerusalem because they saw themselves not as vases to receive it and hold it and want more of it, but as pitchers that God put in so they could pour out. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I've been in services, the power of God would come down in here, and I thought, I can't wait to get back tonight to have that replicated. I like that. But God would move in a different way. Amen? And I thought, you know, all of these things that we get into and we replicate them. I don't believe we're going to see revival until we accept what we have, who we have. We balance this thing with both wings, praise God, and we become the real deal, honest to goodness followers of Jesus for the right reason. Yes. Can you say amen? They followed him for the miracles. They followed him for the fish and loaves. They followed him all the way down to the banks of the Sea of Galilee. You know what he did? He pushed out in a boat. He looked at all these people following him. Say, following him.
Following,
following him. Who wouldn't follow a Jesus that's going to... Well, wait a minute. Let me backtrack. Listen carefully to this. A man comes to Jesus and says, I will follow you. I will follow you. Jesus tests that commitment. And here's what he says. The foxes have holes. The birds have nests. The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. In other words, if you can't follow me out of a commitment for a kingdom beyond this world, if you can't follow me for something more than an immediate, gratifying blessing, then, and you go right ahead, I understand, that's just fine. God bless you. We'll pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever the crisis circumstance is, Lord, we know our enemy. We know Him well. We know Him too well to not recognize Him. And Father, we just bind the enemy and exalt Jesus right now and pray for Your blessing in spite of the circumstance, whatever it may be. In the name of, we believe the devil's behind it, whatever it is. In the name of Jesus, we bind him. In the name of Jesus, we exalt the Lord here today. And we put our focus upon Him. Hallelujah. We commit the circumstance to You in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to this. This is an important message. And it's no marvel that the enemy attacks right in the middle of messages sometimes in all of our lives. It could be me on the phone with a crisis or a circumstance at home. Listen carefully. Amen. Following Him for the right reason. We've got a lot of people in church today. God knows why they're there. God knows why you're here. Amen. God knows why I'm here. Yes. Can you say amen? He knows what drew me. He knows what's drawing the crowds that fill some buildings today. Amen. The promise of wealth, frankly, is drawing tens of thousands of people to buildings of worship. That in and of itself becomes the perpetuated message that comes in some form or another, Sunday after Sunday, television broadcast after television broadcast. It seems to never end. Can you say amen? I went through Easter Sundays while preachers are not even preaching the resurrection of Jesus. They're preaching something else. We're going to pray, yes. Okay. He don't remember leaving. It's a seizure thing like we had before. Okay. Yeah. If he wants to come back, he's welcome. We'll pray. We'll pray. This is what I was talking about. I will get the message back. It's fine. It's fine. Praise the Lord. Amen. We want to see people delivered. We want to see breakthroughs. We want to see Satan bound and Jesus exalted. Hallelujah. And it isn't always pretty, but it's worth it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when he comes back in, I'll pause for a minute. But right now, Father, we just thank you. We know exactly what this is. We bind Satan. We exalt Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over our brother's life. Lord, that Satan not torment him and nothing go wrong in his body in the name of Jesus. Lord, that his mind might be clear and alert. Father, that he might receive the word of God that has within it. It's the perfect law of liberty. And Father, it can set us free. It can set him free. Set my son free. Father, we praise you for it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still on track with me today? Amen. All right. Praise God. I don't mind at all. Right.
And when he came back, you know, brother took him home. To make a long story short, I was saying to myself, what should I pray? I don't know what to pray. I asked Pastor what to pray.
Yeah.
And then when she got up and then you started praying, see whatever it is,
yeah.
And that gave me a relief saying, right. This is what God wants me to pray.
Yes.
And then I was saying he should come back in the church.
Yeah.
And amen.
His sister, he called his sister and his sister told him that His brother wanted to come back. He didn't keep him a hard time. I'm just saying how God is in the midst of this.
Yes.
And how it worked out together.
Yes.
But the way things worked out, with me didn't know what to do, and you come in and said the thing, then he called her, and it's all coming together for the glory of God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. For the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we don't always know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Ghost does. Hallelujah. He knows exactly what we need. Praise God. Let's get this thing back on track, because I want this to be a blessed year for my life. It's already begun that way with my son getting saved after almost 30 years of alcoholism, not being able to. He said the first time he watched a movie with his wife, one of these syrupy Hallmark type movies, you know, it wasn't a guy movie, you know, nobody, well, anyway, it was just and I like some of them too. I mean, especially if it's got dogs in it. Amen. I love dogs because dogs love me. Amen. Praise God. A big old pickup truck. I see the best bumper stickers in the world in Plant City. You get out there in the country, you see them country bumper stickers. Amen. Praise God. Real men love Jesus on a truck that I don't know if I could climb up in it, even if they give me a ladder. It's so tall. Can you say amen? Real macho stuff. My wife yes, my dog maybe, my gun never. Or my wife says if I go fishing, she's going to leave me. If I keep going fishing, she's going to leave me. Boy, I'm going to miss her. It says right on the bumper sticker. Can you right on the bumper sticker? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's Plant City. I get a lot of earthy wisdom in Plant City. I want to see God's people blessed. I want to see the joy back in the camp. I want to see people, I want to see the Holy Ghost pleased. Amen. So pleased that he's able to move uninhibited. I've often thought about what would happen if there was an unquenched and ungrieved Holy Spirit let loose among God's people. What kind of revival, restoration that we would see with an ungrieved, unhindered Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Satan is deathly afraid that we will get so filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That we will begin to move in the power of the Spirit and not in the power of our weak flesh. That we will pray in the Spirit. And that's not just tongues alone, but praying a prayer that is unctioned by the Holy Spirit, filled with authority and faith by the Holy Spirit himself. And the devil works overtime to keep us in some area of disobedience so that we grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. Quenching the Spirit is not just not speaking in tongues or not witnessing to somebody when you feel the unction. Quenching the Spirit is when God prompts you to forgive an enemy. And you override the promptings of God and the clear teachings of the Word of God because of your ego or your flesh wants to get back and wreak some vengeance and hold that in your heart. And we have a service where God wants to move and we're praying for revival, but that unsurrendered will, that unsurrendered life is sitting there. And God wants to flow through us, but the avenue through which the Holy Ghost flows is that channel of love, and that love forgives, amen. And that love forgets. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Jesus said a lot of things to us that you're going to have to crucify the flesh and begin to walk in the Spirit to obey. And it's worth every bit of it, because when these principles are obeyed, all of His promises can be claimed. But building your faith without building an obedient life is a ridiculous, unbiblical, ungodly concept. God is more concerned about your obedience than anything you could offer Him. Amen. Saul was told to go down, and God was going to go with him. He said, you're not going down there to get vengeance. This is not between Israel and this nation. This is between me and this nation. Sometimes He rained fire out of heaven to bring His judgments in the land. Other times He sent armies and anointed that army to execute His justice, not man's vengeance. How many know when Israel went and won a battle, they were not executing their vengeance, but His justice? How many know Samson would have been alive and well and lived out his days if he hadn't just been concerned about his vengeance instead of God's justice? You put Samson, and I put Samson in the Hero Hall of Fame in Scripture. He died defeated. God was exalted, but he was defeated. He died with the people that hurt him. The stones that fell on them fell on him. Because when Samson came to himself after his compromise, listen to his prayer. It sounds good at first, but it don't end that way. Lord, strengthen me one more time. That I might what? That I might bring glory back to your name. That I might honor the God that I dishonored through my disobedience. That I might let them know that we serve the living and true God. Their God in this temple is not the true God. I'm jealous for my God that I've dishonored. Strengthen me so I can bring honor to Him again. Did you know something? He wouldn't have died in there. They plucked his eyes out, not because God was unfaithful, because he was unfaithful and compromised the anointing. And you know what he wanted? He wanted vengeance against his enemies. You know what God wanted? He wanted justice and his name to be exalted. He didn't strengthen Samson so Samson could get vengeance. He strengthened him so God could get justice. And say, you can talk, man can fail. You can blaspheme him all you want, but you start blaspheming me. Amen. That's a whole different thing. Amen. Listen to me. Here's the way Samson prayed. Amen. Let's get our flesh under control for one. Let's get this flesh on the cross where it belongs so we can walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh, so that we can claim promises and God can legitimately keep them to us. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. Amen. He said, Lord, strengthen me this once that I may avenge myself on them for my eyes. Amen. Jesus said, vengeance is his department. So, God strengthened him. He asked a little boy, where are the pillars that hold up this great temple? The little boy said, well, let me touch them. They were close enough together. The center pillars were close enough that Samson could touch them. And the Spirit of God came upon him. Not for him to avenge his eyes, but that the name of the Lord be glorified that had been dishonored by Samson. They made sport of him. They made sport of the God that he served. And he shoved under the anointing. And that building collapsed. Those great pillars fell and all that great stonework collapsed. And guess who died in the rubble? Samson. Is that victory? Dying with the enemies just wanting vengeance? He still didn't get it. He still didn't get it. He's down there with his eyes. I mean, you talk about, I don't know if it'd be too disrespectful to use the word dumb. But you go to bed with this woman. You wake up. She wants to know, what is the secret of your strength? You a strong man. You're such a strong, mighty man. You can tell me. Well, if I do, it's a Nazarite vow. I can't tell anybody or I'll lose it. He says, I can't tell anybody or I will lose it. Amen? So he knows exactly what he's doing. Amen? I mean, if you're ignorant, that's one thing. I'm ignorant of things. Amen. I don't know how a microwave works. I mean, I don't know how it works. But I bake my potato. Yeah. I don't have any problem pressing potato on it. Mine says potato right there. Took me a while to find it because I was looking for T for tater, but it just wasn't on there. It's under the peas. It's real confusing sometimes for a hillbilly. But anyway, amen. I don't know how it works. That don't stop me from using it. I'm ignorant concerning microwave technology. I don't know how plasma television works. Amen. Something about gas in the plasma. And then there's the LCD. And there's the LED. And there's the DLP. And it all this technology is thrust upon. He wasn't ignorant. He knew exactly why he was anointed. He knew he was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. He knew that his hair was in his case, part of a covenant with God. God gives us something to do to obey. He doesn't just anoint and leave that obedience element out. Faith is never without obedience demanded. Amen? Samson's anointed, but he's a Nazarite. He has a vow to keep for that anointing to flow. It doesn't just flow freely, arbitrarily. Samson, now that I have captured your heart, I want to know your secret. Because if we're heart to heart now, you cannot withhold any secrets from me. And he says, I can't. This is a vow. And so, but you can tell me. So he lies about it. He knows if the thing happens to him, he's going to be just like anybody else, and the Spirit's going to not be able to move through him. And he says, he said they've never bound me with new rope, with green cords, fresh. Those others can be broken easily. He didn't even give credit to the whole. Listen, whatever binds you, it don't matter if it's interwoven steel cables. It didn't come when he flexed. Come on. Let me tell you something about Samson. I personally believe that he was a little Jew. You know why? Because God said he is glorified most when we're the weakest, and he uses us in that state. When I'm weak, and then I'm made strong. Every time I've opened my Bible and looked at Samson, he's had muscles where I don't have places. Amen. We assume that Samson was an Arnold Schwarzenegger looking guy. But the Bible never said that his personal stature or his strength had anything to do with what happened when God came on. In fact, it was God's Spirit coming on him that did it all. Amen. I believe when you meet Samson in heaven, I believe a lot of people in heaven are probably going to shock you. Amen. I believe when you meet Jesus, it's going to shock you. He was a carpenter, the body, the part of him. Amen. He was a carpenter's son. Amen. Amen. He helped build things with his hands. If you're looking for that wimpy candidate for Geritol that some artists have conceived him to be, I don't believe that's him at all. Amen. I believe, listen, he could blend in with us sitting here today if he put on our clothing contemporary to our time. Listen, Jesus could blend in with us sitting here today. And he'd be a nice looking young man in his 30s. Amen. But you couldn't pick him out of a crowd. Brother Bidwell, how do you know? Because they paid a man 30 pieces of silver to point him out. Amen. So he couldn't have had a halo on his head. Can you say amen? You ever seen Jesus with the halo? You don't have to pay somebody to point him out. He's a luminary. The guy with the halo. He didn't have the halo. He looked ordinary. You know what made him extraordinary? Never a man spake like this man. What set him apart? What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. Can you say amen? He does not speak as the scribe or the priest, but he speaks as one having authority. I don't mean the authority through the church or through the temple. I mean authority over heaven, authority over earth, authority over demons, authority over nature. He was God incarnate. Can you say amen? But you couldn't tell it till he opened his mouth. He deserves more than us following him around for his miracles. He deserves more than following him around for the choicest of wine. He deserves our following not just for the healings. He deserves our following because he who had all power in heaven and earth died like a lamb on the cross. He deserves our love and our allegiance. And nothing less. You've got to follow him for the right reason. You can't be his disciple. Amen. Amen? Crowds of people are following him to get rich right now. And not just to get rich. Dear Lord, we need help from God in that area. And he knows we need help. Amen. But a lot of people are following for economic gain. Because we've simplified this. And it's not a matter of the heart anymore. It's not a matter of a love. Like you find in Revelation chapter 12, there's three principles to promise victory over Satan. Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Christians need to understand and appreciate you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. You can't buy these things. Everybody say, listen, you can give because you love God with all of your heart. Amen. But you can't just write a check. Amen. No matter how large. Amen. And qualify for true blessings. You can't just sow a seed and forget your heart. Forget your commitment to Christ. And just get the blessing through the financial transaction. Amen. They were giving. They were following all the sacrifice principles in Malachi. They said, we're offering incense. You told us how to mix it. You told us the prescription for it. We made it like you said make it. You said how we're to offer it and who's to offer it from the line of priests. We're doing all of that. Why is it that you're not listening when we pray? Why is it that you're not responding to our worship and our acts of devotion here in the temple? He said, because you're giving me what's convenient to give. It was a matter of honor. It wasn't even a matter of the financial part. Primarily in Malachi, we think of it as that financial thing. Give, you know, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. He said, you're robbing me of honor. First chapter of Malachi says that we're to honor God. Put him first. He said, you know, since you're just using this as a transaction, you're bringing me that don't cost you anything. Uh-huh. With the promise of me giving you everything. You got a sick cow, it's going to die. It's of no more use to you. Amen? Can't bring any more calves into the world. So let's take it up to the temple. Let's give that old sick cow to God. I mean, after all, they're going to burn it, right? They're going to burn it on the altar. Amen? They're going to kill it anyway. Why does it matter? He said, would you treat your governor this way? Would you treat your king this way? Hey, if the president of the United States was coming to your house for dinner, would you give him chicken livers? I mean, he may like them, but I mean, some of you say, I sure would. I love chicken liver. Amen. But listen, this is the president. What you love and what would you... You think you might be able to fix something just a little more pleasing to the palate? You fix him grits and hush puppies? I mean, that's all good food, but the president's coming. President's coming. Prime rib. Come on, somebody. T-bone steak, New York strip, baked potato, some kind of special salad, some kind of special dessert. Why? Because you're honoring where honor is due. God knew you won't do this for your governor. You won't treat him that way, and yet you treat me that way. And now you're asking me why I don't bless you. See, this is a matter of the heart and where God's place is in your heart. It's not a matter of simply writing checks and sowing seeds. It's a matter of your heart and God's favor. He said, if you'll get it right, I'll open the windows of heaven, not just because of what you give, but because I have a place of honor in your life. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to contain it. Why? Because you wrote the check? No, because you put God first place in your life. Amen. And all that stuff just falls into place. Can you say amen? How many know when God's first place, your cell phone doesn't have to have television? Amen. I would give to the Lord, but I just got my new whatever. They got to come up with something new because they got to keep consumers consuming. I just can't imagine. I get enough TV at home. Amen. I have to fight getting too much of it, amen. Let alone, amen, running around all day long. They want it in your car. They want it in your pocket. People at work were coming back late from break because they're sitting there watching Dancing with the Stars. Amen. And they want to see who wins. And they're going to get written up. You can't even use the old excuses they used to use when you're sitting there glued to a little television. And time is passing. One man, if you go to sleep on the job where I used to work years ago, if you go to sleep on the job, it's automatic termination. You're not allowed to sleep on the job. They do not pay you to sleep. It's not like church. Amen. We've never kicked anybody out for falling asleep. I just turn up the volume and hope it wakes them up. And you say, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. He'll keep you awake if you let him. Listen. Amen. But this one man, and his job was to watch this line and make sure nothing went wrong. He was just learning. So they didn't let him, you know, touch all the dials. But they wanted him to watch and holler if he saw anything out of line, any of the cartons that wasn't just right. And he was leaning up against the wall, amen, watching all this stuff go by on this conveyor, you know, trying to learn the ropes. And he just got tired standing there. And his eyes started blinking. And finally, he just standing up, went to sleep. With his head plopped down. foreman saw him creep slowly up, stood right, and there was other people watching this because they knew he's got it. He caught him. He's dead meat. Amen. The foreman walked right up, stood right beside him, shoulder to shoulder. And the foreman gave him a little nudge. He went, amen. I wasn't sleeping. I was praying. You can't fire me for praying on the job. If I'd have been the foreman, I'd say, but Jesus said, watch and pray. Can you say amen? You watch that line, you pray all you want. Can you say amen? Listen, God wants to bless his people. Amen. He wants to do it legitimately. Israel thought they could bypass that place of honor for him in their heart and believe him for blessings because they're doing all the other stuff. They're offering the incense. They're bringing the sacrifices. He said, if I had first place in your heart, you wouldn't bring me the old sick cow over here. You'd bring me the best out of your flock. For this is... But you wouldn't give that to your governor. Amen. So if you wouldn't... If you will honor man more than God, amen, then this is out of order. I'm not just your Savior, and I'm not just your delivery boy for blessings. I am your Creator. Can you say amen? I made you out of the dust. There's this fictitional story of science getting so advanced, they believe that they can create people, just like God did. And they're down here building this big apparatus that they can create people. And God comes down and says to the scientist, what are you doing? Says, we're going to make a man just like you made a man. He said, what are you going to use? He said, we're going to use dirt just like you used. He said, say what? We're going to use dirt just like what you used. He said, well, you can't use that. That's my dirt. I made it too. I mean, they couldn't do it anyway. Principle is, he made it all. He made it all. Man can't make nothing. Amen. Man can't make a tree. Amen. You ever see the Christmas trees man makes? I mean, I got one of those trees because, the things don't fall off and all of that stuff. And you can make it look like real. But it's not real. I kind of like after Christmas going out and seeing all them real trees throughout. People throwing out them real trees because now it's getting all over the carpet. It's a fire hazard. They're throwing out them real trees. But man can make this tree that looks like a tree. It stands like a tree. You put a lot of decorations on it, you could even think it was a tree. Amen. But I found myself watering them. Some of the stuff looked so real. There was three plants that was hanging out in the little porchy area of where my son is. And I water them occasionally, do my part. I water this one. I water that one. And the one in the middle is not real. I didn't know that at first. The two on the other side was real, and I thought, I'm going to water these plants. I watered the real one. And then I picked up my bucket, and I'm watering this plant. I'm just pouring the water on it. And I look at it, do a second take, and it looks so real. But I realize, hey, that's plastic. I'm watering a plastic plant. And then I'm looking to make sure my wife didn't see me watering the plastic plant. I know I'm aging, but I want to hold it to a minimum. Can you say amen? Satan is not a creator either. I'm going to tell you something else about creation. Let's get it settled this morning. Your words don't create wealth. Your words can create discouragement within you. Your words can create doubt within you, not in the sense of making it out of nothing, but making it out of something that's already there. You already got a flesh nature that's like a roller coaster emotionally. Yes. You can talk faith or you can talk defeat. And believe me, emotionally, you're going to respond to either one. Amen? But you can't create with your words. You're not a little God with a little G, big G, or any other G. It says we are gods. We're not talking creator level. You can't create nothing. If they could create like they say they could create, they wouldn't send you anything in the mail to send them anything. They'd create their own wealth with their own words, and they wouldn't need nothing from us. But they have great need of us. I'm going to make a prediction. It's not a prophecy, it's a prediction. This say I, not the Lord. Television screen would go blank if nobody wrote a check. With all of that faith and created words, I'm going to create, well, I'm going to send my angels to get it. Well, send the angel. Yeah, you know, send the angel. Don't send the card and letter with a little bag in it. We get desperate even in the name of such great faith and creativity. I get things in the mail that proves people are desperate. I got a thing in the mail one time, and it was a little, remember the little marble bags? Anybody ever play marbles? I didn't say if you lost them. I just asked, did you play them? Anybody? Amen? Amen? You got this little bag, and it has a pull string at the top. Anybody remember that? It's just a little bag that pulls string at the top. I got one of those in the mail, one of those little bags from a major evangelistic ministry. Amen? And the deal was that did you ever wonder what happened to the 30 pieces of silver that was paid to Judas? It was blood money. Well, a curse, the letter said, came on the whole human race because of the 30 pieces of silver that man sold out Christ for. And that's the reason we're not blessed and prospering, is because of what Judas did. And what Jesus did doesn't seem to matter unless we somehow replace and replenish that 30 pieces of cursed money. Amen. So put 30 pieces of money, whether it's in dollars, dimes, pennies, just get it, make sure it fits in this bag. Send it in, and the curse will be broken. Send it to this ministry, and the curse. And I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, that's not faith. This is desperation. Can you say amen? How about the guy that's selling the blessed wallet? I saw that on TV. It was a blessed wallet. I don't even have mine. Amen. But this was a blessed wallet. They zoomed in the camera when he opened it up, and there was a bunch of bills in it like that, and he thumbed through those bills. I have a big screen TV. Those bills were $1 bills. I thought, you can have 30 bucks and have a pretty thick wallet if they're ones. But you're supposed to get this thing. If you send in the money, you get this thing. And that wallet is going to make your money grow. That wallet, I mean, they might have us to sell seeds for a money tree. Can you say, man, that you plant out in your backyard? It gets that ridiculous after a while. And then there's the major evangelistic ministry out in Texas that had a glow. Remember when the Darth Vader swords come out after Star Wars? You hold it up to the light. You run in the back bedroom, turn the lights off, and then you can sword fight. My kids did that with these lightsabers. Long as it took a little while for it to go down, you know, lose that luminance that it had gathered. And you have this cross, and you hold it to the light just before you go to sleep. Sit it by your bed and let it get all that light absorbed in it. And you got this little booklet you read, you know, to defeat the devil. Nothing about Ephesians 6 in there. You got this little cross now, you know. And you turn the lights out to go to sleep. And all what gives you great courage to go to sleep, because you know demons and devils are going to come in that room. And they're going to be headed in that room. As soon as you shut your eyes, let your guard down. Amen. They're coming. They're coming for you. But when they walk in that room, what do they see? They see a little illuminated cross sitting by your bed. It's going to keep all the devils away. Amen. Isn't it incredible what people do when they get desperate? This little illuminated cross. And no, it's not the little illuminated cross. It's the old rugged cross. Amen. What he did on that cross is in effect. When I go to sleep, that's in effect, and it's in full effect. And I don't have to buy trinkets because I don't fear devils. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. I don't play the gospel game. God wants more than your money. He wants your allegiance. Saul, I want you to kill everything down there. This is my justice, not your vengeance. I could have rained fire, but instead I'm sending you. Don't bring anything back. Nothing. I want the nations of the world to know there's a God in Israel. It's not you, Saul. It's not these people. It's me. Prophet gives him the message. He clearly receives it. You got Samson all over again. He goes down there under the anointing. God grants a tremendous victory. He comes back leading oxen. And boy, they pretty things. You nothing in the state fairs like he brought back. He said, when I bring these things in the temple and offer them to God, you know, oh, people are going to see what I, the spoils, and brought the king back of that place. Oh, when I humiliate him, God clearly telling me, this ain't about you, this is me. This is not about you getting, this is not to honor you, this is not to exalt you. Listen, when God moves to give you victory over the devil, it's not so you can walk around and talk about how spiritual you are, how strong you are. It's to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? So the prophet meets Saul and said, what meaneth this? What means this braying of the oxen? What are you doing? And he gets religious. And he says, I'm bringing this to offer to the Lord. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Even if it's going on my altar, I don't want it with a disobedient heart. I don't want it with a rebel heart. I want your heart first and then your offering. I don't want a teaching that tells you you can write a check and get rich when in your spirit you haven't even forgiven your enemy. In your heart, you're not right with me. I don't hold first place. Anybody can give to get. I don't hold first place until you bow to me and me alone and you obey me. And you take up your cross and you follow him. You got to follow him for the right reason. Otherwise, you can't claim disciple. And you can't claim by faith promises that are preceded by principles that must be obeyed before God can legitimately or will legitimately keep the promise. Preaching faith to get promises will fill a building. Preaching, take up your cross and follow Jesus and get real with God. They'll stay away in droves in many quarters, except where there's real committed Christians. Everybody, how many would like to be a real committed Christian? Yes. Well, here's the good news. You get to be a real committed Christian, you get a shepherd God who fathers you, and he knows what you have need of. Amen. And as long as his kingdom is first, everybody say, I'm a real committed Christian. Can you, and his kingdom is first, all these things will be what? They'll be added unto you. How many's found that to be true? That if you'll keep God first, God will take care of everything else. I mean everything else. But he's got to be first. Amen. Beware of the teaching that doesn't talk about him being first. Doesn't require you to take up your cross and follow him for the right reason. Because if you're following for the right reason, you will have to crucify the flesh. Because the flesh has no spiritual concept of the things of God. The flesh considers not the things of God at all. It's just the immediate felt needs. And that's why the great experiment of the felt need churches, the seeker-friendly churches, is failing. It's not failing because it didn't build a big audience and a big church. It's failing because when people walk through those doors, they are not followers of Jesus Christ. They don't walk it out. That's why the divorce rate with the church in the world has now equaled out in balance. Being a Christian doesn't mean your marriage is any more secure, because Christianity doesn't mean true followers of Jesus anymore. It just means I go to that church, I buy into that teaching, I claim these promises. It's not about a person bowing to a king. One thing that convinced me, I know my son's been delivered from alcohol. I was waiting to see about his salvation experience. I'm waiting to hear something that says, I'm not just delivered from alcohol, I'm saved. And the other night we're talking on the phone and he says, Dad, if they tell me, he's got to go back and find out if his liver is beyond repair in the natural, or if his liver, the liver has been damaged to the degree that it's irreparable by man. He's waiting for the report whether he lives or dies or how long he may live. Amen. And this is what I love, is the peace that's in his heart. The peace that's in his heart. Peace is a real indicator that God is truly in the life. Listen, when the world shakes, they that are making the world their source, they that are of the flesh are going to shake right along with it. Can you say amen? But we've been given a kingdom which cannot, the Bible said, be shaken. How many know the kingdom of God standeth sure? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. No matter what happens in the world about us, this kingdom standeth sure. I would get in it for the favor of God. I would get in it not to get a full meal barrel, but to get a meal barrel that's under the blessing of God. Because a full meal barrel can be emptied. Bugs can get in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me. But one just about empty under the blessing of God can last you 3 years in a famine. I don't want just a lot of money in my bank account. I want God to be on my side. I want God to be my provider. I want the blessing of the Lord, for it, the blessing, maketh rich. And the riches is God is fathering me. God is shepherding me. God is providing for me. And by the way, when God provides for me, He meets my needs. And my wants change. I don't have to compete or compare anymore. I'm meeting with ministers, and one of the ministers I'm meeting with lives in a mobile home that he's lived in since 1982. He said the carpet on the floor, same carpet when we got it. I was trying to be gracious. I said, it must be good carpet. He said, you should see it. But you know something? He loves God. He's so satisfied. He's not an indoor person, his wife either. They got horses, and he's with, you know, you'll probably see him riding in a parade. He was in the parade riding a horse with some 4-H girls that he's leading in devotionals, and he's 61 years old and going to come preach for us sometime. Praise God. Because he said, I'm a Babdecostal. he don't talk in tongues, but he don't mind it. Can you say amen? How many know that's a Babdecostal? And there's other issues we're finding out that we're, he's kind of different, praise God. So I think he'll fit in with us. And hallelujah, because we're kind of different.
Yes, we are.
Bible called us a peculiar people.
Yes.
There's a lot of folks out there say, boy, that's the truth. Can you say, man, they're peculiar. Laurel and Hardy went to have dinner, and he has this one scene, and Stan, the big guy's wife, is talking about Stan Laurel. He says, don't bring your friend over here anymore. I told you not to bring friends in unannounced. He said, but honey, we go way back. He's different. She said, I'll say he is. Can you say that? But we're different, and it's all right for the world to say that we are. I want to get both wings on this plane. I can't just play this game with these folks.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? My blessings have to be real. My God has to come through.
Yeah.
I don't have a constituency that I can send computer letters to and solicit them to help me in my crisis. If God don't talk to somebody's heart, I'm not going to get some help that I need. Can you say amen? That's why it thrills me when out of the clear blue, God speaks to somebody concerning my need. Amen. And they, men, give to my bosom because God spoke to them, not because I marketed the gospel and solicited them and pressured them in any way. Hallelujah. And then not only do I get my need met, but it builds my faith. And not only is the thing come through, the material blessing come through, but I know I have favor with God, and it gives me courage that no matter what we face or I face, God is with us. I don't want the devil to get me just trying to use my faith and claim promises. I want to stay bowed before my King. When my son said, Dad, if I live 6 months, I'm going to live it alcohol free. And I'm going to live it for my King. My King? Oh, there's a lot of people sitting in church that Jesus isn't Lord. They can't call him their King. Can you say amen? Because when they walk out the door, they serve another master. Can you say amen? But the real deal, followers of Jesus that are in it for the right reason. I'm in it for something more than the immediate material part of this. My Father knows what I have need of. Honey, He's took good care of me down through the years. Amen. I'm not here representing an impoverished guy that God hasn't blessed. God has blessed me. But compared to some other people, it looked like I'm not blessed. But everybody in here needs to go one time to a third world country. Come back and look at what God has given you and say, Lord, 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 Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. I am one day going to live in a gated community. Didn't you say, amen? Yes, I am. 12 gates to the city, all of them carved out of a solid pearl. Don't you love Abraham? God made Abraham one of the richest men of his entire day. But you know what he did with all of his riches? He traveled light, didn't he? Can you say amen? He dwelt in tents his whole life. Well, why in the world would he do that? Why didn't he build him a big palatial house so everybody could see and say, look what God has done. Listen, because, amen, he wasn't living for this world. This world didn't hold a lot of weight to him. Amen. Can I quote this in its entirety? Amen. Abraham lived in tents. With all the riches and wealth God gave him, he lived in a tent. Oh, it was a nice tent. He had great flocks, but he wasn't flaunting. He wasn't trying to prove something to this world. He wasn't trying to compare. He was not trying to compete. Amen. Why did he live in a tent? Say it. Why did he live in a tent? Thank you. I knew you'd catch up with me sooner or later. No, I didn't ask you to give the answer just to say, why did he live in a tent when he had all those riches? Amen. He was a sojourner searching for the city. Listen, the Bible said because he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Can you say amen? We used to sing it in church. Happy with what we had. Grateful to be have clothing and a roof over our head. Praise God. Amen. Listen to me. Looking for a city where we'll never die, where the sainted millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. Here among the shadows in a dreary land, we're a band of pilgrims on the move. Can you say amen? Are you a band of pilgrims on the move? 1 Peter said, I beseech you, as pilgrims and strangers that you are, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against your soul. I want you to prosper as your soul prospers. And when your soul prospers, you get a whole different frame of mind. Yeah. The things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. You've got to be in it for the right reason. So a man says, I'll follow you, Jesus. Well, today, of course he would. Because the Jesus they're preaching would say to him, good choice, wise choice. You follow me, I'll make you rich beyond your wildest dreams. You shall become the head of a great corporation. You shall retire at 52 in the Bahamas, where you shall have a palatial house in the Bahamas. But you shall take vacations to Colorado, where thou shalt have a ski chalet, or whatever it is, a shallot. Can you say amen? You shall have a shallot, a great shallot. It's a chalet, I know. I'm just seeing if you're listening. You've heard it. We've all heard. Who wouldn't jump on board? What have I got to lose? It's a win-win. I follow Jesus. I get rich. I retire early. I just sit back on my lees. Oh, Peter couldn't wait to follow that Jesus. No, Peter followed the Jesus for the right reason. What did Jesus tell him? He said, when you were young, you girded yourself. You did anything you wanted. You were headstrong and self-willed. When thou art old, others will gird you and take you where you wouldn't choose to go if you had the choice. If you hadn't surrendered all of that to God, like I did in the garden. Thus signifying the death by which he would glorify Jesus. If he was in it for the house and land, if he was in it for the riches and wealth, he would have quit it right then and there. 1 and 2 Peter wouldn't be in this book. You'd never heard of him again. But he was in it for the right reason. Does that mean that God didn't take care of him? He even asked his disciples, said, we've left all to follow thee. Said, have you lacked anything? They said, no. You know why? Because their wants had changed.
Yeah.
You read anywhere where they had great condominiums and all that? No, they stayed on the field for God. Many of them died a martyr's death. But he asked them, did you lack anything? Do you miss that fishing? Hey, you're out here winning souls for me that's going to last for eternity. You miss that fishing business? No, we've lacked nothing. Can I give you something, a little clue on the hundredfold? I went to get my taxes done, and you better get yours done. Amen. Anyway, just thought I'd run that by you. Don't get mad at them because they're asking for taxes. Amen. You couldn't have a military without it. You couldn't have a road without it. You just pay it. Be glad you got a salary. Can you say amen? Just count your blessings. Get over it. Listen. I went to have my taxes done years ago, and I went into this accountant's office, and he was looking over it. He said, I wanted to ask you about the hundredfold. I thought, okay, ask away. You know? He said, because he's into this teaching, he's in it for the wrong reason, primarily. God's going to take care of us. He's taking care of you and me. But this guy's an accountant. If you're going to talk hundredfold to him, God's going to have to come through because he's keeping records. He knows what 100 times one is. It's $100. He knows what 100 times $100 is. He knows what 100 times $1,000 is. He's keeping tabulation. He said, I've been keeping tabulation. He says, I've been given to God, and he wasn't given. When he said given to God, he means I've been given to this ministry that's teaching me this. But we assume it's giving to God. Amen? And he said, according to my figures, he said, God is not giving me back, but about 30-fold. And I'm 70 short. Can you explain that to me? I'm telling you, 30-fold is pretty good. If God 30-folded everything you had in your pocket right now, would it help you get through the day? Could you possibly consider going out to eat or something, or getting your car filled up instead of a quarter of a tank? Can you say amen? Be 30-fold is nice. Got your needs met, and God has blessed you. But he's got this 100 thing going. Well, they're making the promise to him. They say God's word promises him 100-fold for every dollar he lays down. And they're living in opulence. But you see, he said, no man has left father, mother, sister, brother, house, land, husband, wife, that shall not receive 100-fold. Got to finish this. Houses, lands, sisters, brothers, fathers, mothers, husband, wives. Okay. What if my wife leaves me for preaching the gospel? Do I get 100? I'm a only child. Where do I get 100 brothers and sisters? Does my dad and mom? I took him to visit her the other day, and I don't think so. Amen? She just turned 80. He just turned 90. I had to put a visitor tag on my dad at the nursing home, make sure they let him out. Honestly, everybody in there is younger than him. He looked like he belonged. I said, come on, Daddy, come on, it's time to go. I love him. Yeah, but he's going to come play the fiddle one Sunday. He's getting ready. It's going to take him a little while to get ready, but he's getting ready. Praise God. Hallelujah. Still playing for Jesus. Glory to God. Did you know something? I got 100-fold, brothers and sisters. If I had a big family and they rejected me for serving Jesus, I got a sister right here. I got a brother right here. I got a brother back behind this palm tree over here. That's my brother. Amen. Can you say amen? I got sons and daughters. I got a spiritual son right there. That there he is. Boy, cool breeze himself. But he's my spiritual son. Praise God. I got brothers and sisters. Oh, yes. I got houses. Did you know if my house burned down tomorrow, there are people in this room. Amen. That woman, I guarantee you, my sister right here, my brother right there. They would say, Pastor Venable, if you don't mind a little drive, you can stay with us while the insurance company's rebuilt. I wouldn't have to go to the Motel 6. Can you say, man? I could go stay up there in their back room. Y'all got a back room? You got a place here that I could use 9 months out? Look at that. I got houses and land. I don't have them deeded. I don't have them titled. I don't need them. I was in, do you understand the hundredfold a little better? Well, listen, what I've got is better than what Bill Gates has. What I've got is better, amen, than the guy that, what's his name, that combs his hair around to cover his bald spot? No, it's not me. It's the other guy. Can you say, man? What's his name?
Trump.
Donald Trump. He's got houses and lands, but he can't go, he can't lay down with the joy I have. He can't lay down with the peace I've got. Can you say, man? I got 100 times what that man's got. I got 100-fold. Amen. House, whatever houses, land, sisters, mothers, brothers, fathers. Amen. When I found Jesus, you can't put him on a scale with the stuff. Can you say, man? When I draw my last breath, I enter heaven's glories forever. You can't compare that with a house or a car or gold or silver. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. He said, you lay it down for the gospel, you'll get 100-fold in this life what all these things could have given you. Just got to quit, but so good to be rich in Him. This is the day of the great falling away. This is the day when the love of many is waxing cold. This is the day when many follow me for the wrong reason. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever, saith the Lord. This is not about writing a check so you can be materially blessed, although God blesses us for giving. This is about bowing to the Lordship of Jesus, doing the will of God from the heart. We're not in it for the things. We're in it to please the one who offered himself on the cross, who said, you've been bought with a price. You're no longer your own. I've set you free from self. Can you say, man? The persecution is coming. I believe as time goes on to be a Christian, a true follower of Jesus is going to bring you trouble. In fact, it may cost you to follow Christ. You know, there was a church in an area of 7 churches of Asia. Is it a guild city? You're not part of the union, you don't work. You couldn't opt out and still work. You had to join. Problem was, they didn't like Christians. So if you're a Christian, you can't get in. We don't want you. So you go to do a job. You're skilled. You're willing to work. They said, this is a union job. You can't work here unless you're part of the guild. Jesus told John, write him a letter. Tell him, I know your poverty. You're being persecuted and it's hurting you materially to serve me. But tell them they're rich for me. No, he didn't tell them I'm going to make them rich. Tell them that having me in the kingdom, you're richer than these people with all the stuff. Then he told John there's another church. And they have a testimony and they call it my blessing. We got it today. Laodicea. What was their testimony? I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. And if that's all there is to this, is the material part of it, falling for the wrong reason. They had it all. No wonder when he knocked on the door. When you got it all, you're not looking for a man to preach repentance to you. When you got everything you wanted from God and everything you think you need, and everything that he's all about or his kingdom is all about, i.e., the wealth, the riches, the material possessions. And here's a man at the door and said, repent. You're going to let that? Oh, the other Jesus is welcome anytime. The man-made Jesus. The Jesus that lives and breathes just to fulfill our felt immediate needs. But the Jesus that hung on the tree that says, I want your heart, I want your life, I want your allegiance. I deserve that. God demands that. Can you say amen? Amen? You've got to follow him for the right reason. He said, tell them for me that they're poor. Tell them they're poor. They're miserable. They're blind. And they're naked. And tell them also I love them. And as many as I love, I just coddle and pet and hug all the time. I rebuke and I chasten. Can you say amen? I rebuke. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for hugging, cuddling, and making everybody feel good every Sunday. Is that what it said? No, it's profitable for rebuke, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. So the man of God might be fully furnished to every good work. That means your flesh, hallelujah, has been put on the cross. And joyfully, you are a true blue follower of Jesus Christ. And God can use you any way he wants to. And you're a willing agent in his hand. Amen. Hallelujah. If he tells you to leave everything and go to Africa and preach, praise God, you're pack up. Because you know I'm not going to lack anything that really matters. Can you say amen? In Haiti, no way to get around. My first trip by myself, walk out of the motel praying, thanking God, not knowing how to get the several miles to where I'm going. Wasn't no tap-tap going by to get like a taxi cab. And I need to get there. And I'm trying to make an appointment. And a man pulls up on a Jeep. And he's a missionary to Haiti from Canada. Wow. He says, where are you going? I said, I'm trying to get to so-and-so. He said, well, that's not where I'm going, but I'll take you anyway. Hop in. I hopped in. Houses, lands, cars. I mean, you know, that car was at my disposal. God even sent a driver with it. Amen. I even had something better than GPS. GPS took a guy the other day out into a snowstorm, told him, turn here. Turn right here. This is a shortcut. It will save you 25 minutes. And took him out in a snowstorm and left him 8 miles out there. And he had to walk back to a road before he froze to death. Because a man ain't thinking about snow and snowbanks. If it hadn't been snowed in, it would have been the right thing to save him 20 minutes. About killed him. I mean, if that thing ever gets on the fritz, people are going to end up in Tampa Bay. They'll be in the middle of the Sunshine Skyway, and they're so used to listening to this boy saying, turn right here. They fish him out, and the cop says, why did you do that? Said, because the GPS told me so. Do you do everything it tells you to do? Wow. But there is a voice that we need to be listening to. When you get beyond the felt needs, the immediate needs, you get into a devotion to a God who gave his son for you. You get into a life that is bowed to him. Then you get an obedient heart. And when you start obeying what he's told you in his word, all the promises, because there's not one promise. This is your challenge. Pick this book up. I guarantee you, if he promises to bless Israel, he requires them to serve him, to offer the correct sacrifices in the temple, to bow to no other gods. You can't claim the blessings without obeying the principles. And what I want to see happen in Christians today is to get the heart to obey. So when we teach faith and how to obtain promises, that we already have the obedient life. So that God, that I might say to you, because I see you obeying God, I can speak in his behalf to you and say, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. That's not an empty promise and it doesn't stand alone. Why? Because you have obeyed him. You've bowed to him. Hallelujah. You've done what he asked you to do, even if it took sacrifice to do it. And now God's going to bless your socks off. He will not be indebted to you. Can you say, man, he will open the windows of heaven. He'll pour you out a blessing. There won't be room enough to contain it. And the greater blessing is his favor. Now you've got a spiritual life that is pleasing to God. And now he's taking care of your other needs. And you know what you find out when your spiritual life is pleasing and you're really seeking him? You don't need as much to be fulfilled. You don't need as much to be happy. Can you say amen? Did you know Dickie Smothers of the Smothers Brothers is filing for bankruptcy here in Tampa Courthouse? Dickie Smothers filed for bankruptcy because he's got two houses. One of them's a million something. The other one's a million something. And the housing market has failed, and he had mortgages on those houses because everybody knows you need two $1-point-something-million houses. Don't you know that? Don't you understand? Can you say, man, $1-million-point-something house is not enough? You need two houses that cost $1 million each. Well, that's, honey, they're not paid for. Can you imagine the taxes and insurance? If they were paid for, if they gave it to me, I'd say, take it back. I can't afford it. I'll lose it in 2 months. Amen? I can't pay tax on a $1.2 million home. I can't insure it either. But he's got that. And the housing market has sunk. And he was making $43,730 a month. That was his income from appearances. Well, they're kind of aging and getting a little dated. Hard to keep up with some of the other hotshots out there in Vegas. You don't headline anymore. When you get up my age, I guess he's my age or more. You know what? He's back on the road. He's going to play Plant City. You know he needs some money. Can you say? How many know it's a long way from Vegas to Plant City? No, there's some big guys come to Plant City. Obama's been to Plant City. George Bush has been to Plant City. Amen. We've eat ice cream where they ate ice cream. Praise God. But people vote. The people go to Strawberry Festival. You get thousands of people. Listen, Dickie Smothers is not out of financial trouble because of all that's been poured into him. I'd rather have a blessed meal barrel that can't go empty than a full meal barrel that can. Can you say amen? Because I'm not about to file bankruptcy. Of course, I haven't bought a $1.2 million home either that I have to make $43,000 a month to pay for. Amen? So he's going to have to come down to the real world. He's going to be a working guy again. Oh, by the way, he's going to go from $43,000 a month down to $7,000. Can you? Oh, only $7,000-something a month. It's tough. This is a recession. $7,000 a month. Boy, if I had $7,000 a month, I'd feel like, dear Lord in heaven, $7,000 a month, that's seven times, $84,000 a year. Woo! Hallelujah. Buy me a new truck. Can you say amen? That meal barrel can go empty. When the famine came, all those meal barrels that were so full and running over. When God's judgments came in that land, when the prophet prayed the will of God, that God would shut the heavens. We ain't got no prophet now that pray God do something to get our attention if it cost us anything. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Call ourselves true prophets of God. Yeah. All God gonna do, bless you every day of your life. Don't matter how you live, you can have a woman on the side. You can be disobedient to him. Amen? You can never forgive your enemies. It don't matter. You write that check, he gonna pour it on you. I prophesy your house is going to be paid off before this year is over. You're going to be like cream. You're going to come to the top every time. Can you say, man, you're going to rise to the top. Thus saith the Lord. No, thus saith the Lord. You get right or judgment's coming. You, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Can you say, man, if you be without chastisement, amen, you think you're perfect. Can you say amen? Then you're bastards and not sons. Because if you were my son, we'd have went to the woodshed already. Can you say amen? How many's ever been in a store and said that? If that was my child, we would have an understanding. I seen a lady, and I got to close, but it's been so much fun preaching the truth to you today and having an audience that would give the time to listen. Amen. We're going to close positive. Amen. I saw a lady standing in Walmart, and she's got three kids, and one of them wilder than a monkey. Amen. Down in the jungle. I mean, that thing climbed on everything, pulled stuff over. She got out there too, but she's saying, "Don't, honey. Don't, honey. Don't, honey. Don't work." Somebody clue her in. "Don't, honey," will not work on a child like that. Can you say amen? My daddy never said "don't, honey" to me. Amen? So, yeah, there is a reset button. It's right here. But anyway, amen. Can reset that child's attitude. But anyway. She got ready to write her check, and that kid was pulling on her skirt. And I saw she's about to blow a gasket. And I was kind of hoping she'd just, you know, give the child a little swat and straighten the child out. But she did not. She did not. She was used to managing the child this way. The child, "Mama, mama, mama, mama. Honey, don't. Honey, don't. Honey, don't." And then she just went like that. She went rigid. And I thought, here it comes. She just went rigid. Her eyes kind of got wild. But she grabbed him by the back of the neck. She's wearing a skirt. She grabbed him by the back of the neck, stuck him up under her skirt, got him between her knees, and locked down on his head. And you talk about a funny sight as a woman writing a check with a kid sticking out from under her skirt, going, "Mama, mama, mama, mama." Now she don't care. She's got him. He can't do nothing else bad. She's got him. She's writing her check. She's taking her time. She's dotting the I and crossing the T. Because he's down there, "Mama, mama, mama, mama." And everybody's saying, "Oh, Lord." Just when you think you've seen everything. Can you say amen? I want a life of obedience. I don't want to be like the ox or the mule that has to be turned about with the bit and bridle. Here's the prophetic part, the serious part of this message. America, God knows exactly what's going on in this nation. Amen. Satan and our enemies are not overcoming us and overwhelming him. Our economic shaking is because of a materialistic message that causes people to follow Jesus for the wrong reasons. Amen. If they were in it for the immediate, I'm not talking about blessings, I'm blessed. I'm going to go. I've been to Haiti two or three times. I'm going to tell you something you may not know. You're blessed. You say, "Well, I have trouble making ends meet." Thank God you've got ends. There are people that don't have ends to meet. They don't have a roof over their head. They don't have food for the evening meal. Amen. A large part of this world lives in abject poverty. Amen. 12 million. Or is it 12 or 30? I forget. It's in the millions will die of starvation this year in this world. We live in a hurting world. Darfur in Africa. You see these little children that are dying every single day. People dying around the globe. And we're living. We don't need to envy the world. We need to thank God. Thank God. Thank God for our heritage. Thank God for this country. Thank God for preachers that still preach the truth here. Thank God for a kingdom that doesn't come with observation. Thank God for a kingdom that, thank God it isn't of this world. Thank God it's not like this world. Thank God it's beyond this world. Thank God it isn't shaken when the whole world shakes. Hallelujah. Thank God you're a follower of Jesus Christ today. And the kingdom of God has come within you. And right now, from heaven's point of view, I'm among the regal and the rich of this world. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For what we have is the true riches. Ask him for a heart now that can be obedient. Your wants will change. Your will be to pleasing. When you pray, you will be able to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." And God is going to answer prayer. I know it was God's will to save my son. See, there's nothing selfish about that. When you pray for something like that, you're praying the very heart of God. Can you say, praying in the Spirit is not just praying in other tongues. It's praying as prompted by the Holy Spirit and not by your flesh. Can you say amen? There's more to this than just Tongues. Tongues used to represent a surrendered life and a surrendered will. And that's why God could take over and flow through us, not sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Glory to God. How many want both wings on your plane? Wave at me if you want both wings on. Well, we can install the faith to believe the promise. There's a way to install these wings. This is step B over here. Anybody ever read instructions? Anybody ever read your Bible? It is an instruction manual, by the way. You got to do step A first. Then you go to step B. A is submit yourself unto God, surrender to Him, seek His will, bow to Him. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. And then you go to B. Then claim His promises. Prove me herewith, saith God, by obeying me in this thing that I ask you. And forget the money. This is the honor. Come on, this is honor. It started with honor in chapter 1. Put me above everyone and everything else because I'm your God, your Creator, and your Savior, the lover of your soul. Prove me by obeying me from the heart and see if I want what? What can you claim that He promised? I will open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a what? A blessing. And the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich His favor, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Can you say amen? Isn't it good to have both wings on? Yes, that you're not going to shipwreck and you're not going to crash and burn. Amen. Because you committed your heart and life to follow Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. My life doesn't represent crashing and burning. God has been good to the Venables. If you will serve me for the right reasons, to please me, to obey me, because I have given my life and my son for you, saith the Lord. If you will serve me for heaven, if you will serve me to honor me, if you'll serve me to see others know me, if you'll serve me because of all that I have done for you, saith the Lord, and love me back by serving me and obeying me, I will see to your daily needs. I will not let you go hungry. I will clothe you. I will provide for you. I will give you what I have already put in store for you. I'll give you everything that pertains to life and godliness. And you shall find a fulfillment. And you shall find a peace. And you shall find a joy that the world knows nothing of, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise in this room. Hallelujah. 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 Righteousness is all I long for. Holiness is all I need. We're going to sing a hymn and we're going to leave today. I'm at a stage of my life. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. We've been in the ministry for 36 years. I can't tell anybody how to build a big church. I thought we were big when we were over 100 people back at the Holy Church of God, or the parking lot filled up and people had to turn away. This is not about big or little or any of the in-betweens. This is simply about obeying God. When I come here on Sunday, I come representing a great King and a mighty kingdom. I will preach no other gospel to try to appear successful to men. I have nothing to prove to them. Can you say, man? If you can't handle a small church, then people should go to some mega church somewhere where we can feel like we're uptown. You just need to go where God sends you. And you need to plant yourself where God plants you. Amen. But I do know one thing. My wife and I have discussed it many times. We're growing here spiritually. Can you say amen? And that spiritual growth in all of us, in God's timing, is going to produce everything else. The other growth will come. But it starts with us. We signed covenants recently. Many of you, I never opened it and I never will. I want you to know I'm never going to unroll that scroll to see who signed a covenant. You know why? Because it doesn't matter what anyone's put on paper. If the commitment wasn't made in the heart, We got a marriage license issued to us by the state of Florida. Somewhere in our files, there is a marriage contract. And it says that Pamela is married to Robert Venable, and she's the legal wife of Robert, and Robert is the legal husband of Pamela Girl. Amen. But you know something? If she gets a roving eye and wants to go and marry Tom Cruise as soon as he and Angelina get it all, you know, settled, and then, yeah, Tom Cruise, that's right. Someone like me, you know. But she marries somebody who looked like her old husband, just younger version. Can you say amen? No, I don't think so. If she did, I can't pull that contract out. I can't pull that contract out and make her come home if her heart. She quits God and finds somebody else. I can't pull that out of, dust it off and say, you better get home, girl. Look at him. Huh? No. I'm counting on keeping her heart that she's pledged to me. She can't hold that contract up to me. Preachers do it all the time these days and go on with their ministry. She can't hold that Bible up or that contract up and get me to stay with her. Not anymore. Not in these days when covenants are so easily broken. Can you say amen? The contract don't mean nothing. The Bible don't mean nothing. Because contracts are easily broken. That's why it's hard to find true disciples of Jesus, because you have to make a covenant. And say, you're going to be my God, and I'm going to keep my promise to follow you. And if it costs me, so be it. If it blesses me, so be it. I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content, Paul said. Either way it goes, I'm yours for the rest of my life. I know how to abound without falling into pride and self-sufficiency. I know how to be abased and look like I've lost it all, but understand that you can't take this from me. The world didn't give this to me, and the world can't take it from me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. Hallelujah. But I want you to know that you have my heart. I'm going to keep my promise to you till death do us part. Amen. And I've made a contract with God to never leave you. Praise God. Pamela, you can rest assured that I'm not looking for I'm not looking for another woman. Amen. My wife asked me the other day, said, if I precede you to heaven, amen, do you think you'd marry again? I said, Lord, no. It's not that it isn't fun. I'm not saying that. I'm saying she knows me. She understands me. I know people be setting me up all over the place. They'd be saying, oh, there's a guy comes to our pastor's thing. I got to hurry and close, but this is good, isn't it? We're almost done. Listen, guy comes to our pastor's thing, and he's a single guy. He's 57 and single, pastor of a church. Oh, yes. Amen. The first thing that happened to him, he was sitting at the table, and the rest of the pastors come together, and one of the pastors says, there's a lady that comes to my church, and he just went like this. Because that's all he gets. We got to hook him up. We just got to get him hooked. Well, maybe he has the gift of singleness. Don't try to hook Paul up. If he's not supposed to be married, just let him be. Amen. Amen. So I'm just letting him be. I'm with her because I love her. I'm with her because God tells me this is your mate. Honor that commitment. Sacred. It's more than legal stuff. And so is giving. Giving's a sacred act of worship to God from a heart that is devoted. It is not just a financial contract and agreement. Bypass all of the lordship stuff and just get into a financial agreement where God promises to do all this. That is a terrible imbalance. It is an untruth. We're making them rich, not God. The letters don't come. They come to your house. They come to my house. They're coming to my father-in-law's, and he's been dead for a year this week. And God is still putting him. Boy, they need to get a leading. It says right there in the letter, he's been dead for a year. Dear Brother Floyd, God has placed you on my heart today. And I thought, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. He's in heaven. He don't need nothing else. Sorry. You have to check this one off your list. That if you will send back this prayer request with your offering, God is going to meet your need. God has met his need. This is a consummation of his faith. He dead and gone. The computer don't care. Keeps spitting out the same old letter. And I think, when does this game playing quit? When do Christians wake up, wise up, and say, let's get real with God? When do we accept the challenge to deny ourselves in order to honor Him, take up our cross, and follow Him? He's not going to leave you empty. He's going to fill you like you've never been filled with His Spirit, His grace, His peace, His joy, something the world can't buy with all the money in it. Can you say amen? Well, you're rich today. Amen. Let's sing this song together. How many want me to keep bringing you the truth so we have both wings on this plane? Praise God. I've been flying this way a long time. God has been good to me.
Amen.
For almost 4 decades. He's met my needs, kept me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Going to be married 47 years, May the 18th. Glory to God. Told that to a pastor the other day. He said, how old were you when you married? 2? I hugged him for that. Can you say, man, that would make me younger than I am. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. I was at a pastor's meeting the other day, and one of the pastors said, this thing is spreading. It's already in Africa. It's already in England. Amen. Pastors getting together like this. He said, I can't wait to preach in Berlin, Germany, because I've always wanted to minister to German shepherds. That's how corny we are. Hallelujah. But we're excited because we're praying for one another. Our children are getting saved. Amen. Things are changing in our lives. God is on the move. Preachers are praying over this city. And they're not just praying as pastors, but as men of God. Hallelujah. Amen. At the table, we lose our titles. At the table we meet at. Amen. There's no reverend, no bishop, no brother. Amen. Listen, we're brothers, period. Amen. There's none of these titles mean anything. Nobody knows or cares whether you've got a big church, a little church, or an in-between church. It don't matter if you're black or white. What matters is that we're hearing and heeding the call of God to be real men of God, real husbands, hallelujah, real daddies to our children, praise God. Hallelujah. So that when we walk behind the pulpit, there's nothing put on. Amen. What you see is a real man, praise God. And I'm not talking about the muscles either. It takes more than muscles to be a real man. Amen. Or a real woman of God. I want a real church. So when revival comes, it's a real revival. And it's worth waiting for. Somebody say amen. It's worth waiting for. Will you join hands in here just a minute? Father, Lord, I've challenged this congregation. I open these altars every Sunday. If there's anyone here that needs Jesus, break ranks and come running to the mercy seat so God can forgive you and seal you for eternity. If you're a backslider and you're away from God and you're just hearing the message about God blessing you, circumventing the need for you to get your first love back and to get your first allegiance back, oh, my brother, my sister, bow your heart to Him right now, right where you stand. If you need to come pray, we'll pray with you. But it's more important that you open your heart right now, praise God, and make Jesus the King of your heart and the King of your life. Amen. Quit worrying about all the other stuff. Your Father knows He's going to come through for you. Your meal barrel will not go empty, no matter how bad the famine, if you just obey Him from the heart because you love Him. Amen. You can be dismissed if you want, but we're going to sing a song while this sinks in. Let's just give Him praise today.